What's going on? What's happening, Africa? This is Jackson Vunganyi right here in Washington, D.C.
And I'm Nadia Sami. Thanks for joining us. We love to have you on board. This is Upfront on the Voice of America. Hot, hot.
Upfront is a show that explores issues
that affect your daily lives. Don't move that dial. Get your snacks, get your cup of tea or your cup of coffee. Put your feet up. This is Upfront. cheers. Clink, clink. We engage you, the listener, and interact on a different topic each week. We've got loads of good tunes, lovely music, and lots of analysis to keep you going.
And interviews from experts or you young people telling us what you think about our daily topic.
That's always the best part of the show, Jackson, to hear what the listeners have to say. There's always lots of juicy comments and lots of different perspectives. Absolutely.
So stay tuned. Welcome to Upfront on the Voice of America. I'm Jackson Vunganyi with Nadia Sami. Now, many times in our professional or school careers, we find ourselves at a crossroads or loggerheads with the system. We question the process, the status quo, and the standard practices and policies in any single organization that could be your school or just your workplace. Now, challenging the system on a national level, we question the political leadership and direction of our countries. We protest, we demonstrate, and engage in other forms of defiance towards a system that sometimes we feel is not working in our best interests. But challenging the system is not easy. It involves fighting a tradition that is oftentimes entrenched and more powerful than you are. Sometimes you are successful, many times you're not. Still, if the recent events around the continent are any indication, we know that any system or process can be challenged and changed. So, what is the best way to do it? What does it take? Let's talk Upfront on the Voice of America.
A lot of times I've challenged the process in which things are done. For example, at school, once before I joined the strike because of the way things were being done. Basically, if you don't challenge the process, then you can never be able to voice out if the thing is bad to you or it is good to you. If
my friend takes courage, because when you are challenging a process, more especially is from top officials, top management, bosses, elders, so it needs indeed courage. But if you have points, you don't fear anything. Because you have points. A lot of people fear challenging the process because they are afraid of the consequences that it may be come at the end of it, because you know whenever you challenge, you face maybe penalty, punishment. You need to challenge, otherwise you suffer in silence, so which is not good for a democratic dispensation which everybody is now preaching out of.
Yes, I've ever challenged the process. Like, we were planning to have a strike at school and then I said, no, you're saying we shouldn't eat. You others have food in your bags, while us we don't have, so we can go on with the strike. When you don't challenge the process, it happens that maybe something happens which you didn't like. It's better to take a challenge if you don't like something.
It is those who have courage who can challenge any process. And if you lack self-confidence, you will always let things go the way they are. Because you feel when you challenge something, maybe if it is at level of employment, your boss will maybe terminate you.
Get up, stand up. Stand up for your right. Get up, stand up. Stand up for your right. Get up, stand up. Stand up for your right. Get up, stand up. Don't give up the fight.
Preacher man, don't tell me. Heaven is on the earth.
Yes, of course, when top management are about maybe to say, oh, no, we are not raising any salary hike because we are currently not making profits while things are going up at the market. You say, no, why can't you raise those? So I've been challenging a lot of processes.
We work for civil society. I'm the Secretary General for SUDEMOP. SUDEMOP is a network of civil society organizations.
I've ever challenged processes, and one vivid example is a national process where I was part of the team that challenged that process, particularly the representation of civil society in the constitution process.
personally in the guild council, I stood up and said, please, my friends, I think we should go to the administration of this college and tell them this thing is beyond the students' task. Everyone said, no, all of us will lose our positions. Then I said, why don't we try? If they don't understand, we leave them the way they want. If they understand, well and good. And as a presidential guild advisor, we went ahead, and at the end of the day, we found that we sat quiet on things that are very, very possible. Gotta get that boom, boom, boom. Gotta get that boom, boom, boom. That boom, boom,
boom. That boom, boom, boom. Many say that very often people in management or in leadership positions make executive decisions without consulting with the people that they will affect. And because of the fear of negative repercussions, they have no choice but to just continue working in a dysfunctional system instead of taking steps to correct the wrong that's been done. Sometimes it's a school administrator that makes a decision that impacts you negatively and you feel powerless to challenge it. Similarly, we have situations like this in workplaces around the world, right?
Nadia, on a national level, there are young people that will look at their broken political systems and feel like something has to change. But they're afraid to speak up or give opinions on what needs to change. Now, the one thing that we know, or we need to know, is that no system can change unless you speak truth to it by either voicing dissatisfaction or giving an alternative opinion on how things should go. Let's listen to a conversation that I had with Josh Abbey, a student at Virginia Tech in Virginia. So the question that I wanted to pose to you is challenging the system as a student, you know, religiously, if you can challenge certain dogmas in religion or certain principles in religion and whether you can get away with those things. So I'll start off by asking you, have you ever been in a position where you ask yourself, who came up with this rule or regulation or principle?
Oh, yeah, definitely. So, on so many occasions that you kind of tell, it becomes a norm.
Right. So to question you, to find yourself baffled, who teaches you or who encourages you in your life to grow up challenging the system? Is it your school? Do you learn that from school or from your parents?
I would say culturally, you definitely get to learn it much later on in life.
Okay.
The African perspective has it that you don't challenge your elders, basically your lifetime.
And your elders are the system. They're the ones who really set the system for you.
That's correct. Mm. But I think you come to a point of realization to challenge the system after, I think instrumentally through the internet, news, mass media.
Mm.
I think that's a huge advantage. Reason being is you get to read articles about people, youth who've challenged the system in
and gotten away with
point
it.
X and gotten away with it. Or even when they run into problems, the outcome was for the benefit of all.
Okay. Oh, there's many more. It's not as bad as it sounded when you. Now, what stops people from challenging existing systems or policies? Is it cowardice or is?
I would want to combine cowardice and ignorance in the same bag. Reason being, if you don't know what's better out there, you really don't have a reason to challenge.
Right.
You only challenge when you know what's better elsewhere.
And also speaking about not knowing what is out there, you should also challenge the system if you have an alternative opinion on
how to make
it better.
Yeah, that's the reason of challenging. It's different from just making noise. You're supposed to challenge with ideas, something more than brainstorming.
Okay. But then the question is then, for those who don't have the better idea, don't they have the right to challenge?
While I appreciate the importance of gut feeling, sometimes it's just not helpful to rock the boat when you have no paddle,
Mm-hmm.
You're all going to drown. So I would rather leave it at that than, challenge when I have no alternative. But challenging with alternatives gives opportunities for, coming together to, find common ground.
Okay.
Even when the alternatives are probably not the best, they act as a yardstick for, the standing authority to cross-check themselves and say, why is it that someone would want a worse scenario? Is it so desperate at this point in time?
If you just joined us, this is Upfront on the Voice of America, Ms. Jackson Vunganyi, as we continue our discussion today on what it takes for young people to challenge the existing status quo, whether it's political, social, economic. Challenging the system really is very important for growth, for social migration or political migration internally within whatever system you're in. And usually we find young people who are uncomfortable with what is going on, the harbingers of change. And with me is Nabil Biagio. Nabil is a fellow, an Atlasco fellow from Sudan. Sudan is a country known for having an entrenched political system. Their president has been in power for over 20 years, if am I correct?
25.
25 years. Mm-hmm. And we've seen student protests over the past couple of years. Young people protesting the political system. They say they don't have freedom of expression, of association, of speech. Nabil, start off by telling me if ever you were part of any of these different expressions of dissatisfaction in your community.
Well, I took part in political discussions and, you know, intellectual discussions about the country and the future of Sudan in general, but not an active part in a protest.
Right. So you don't necessarily have to be part of a protest to challenge the system.
No.
You can have an ongoing discussion. Yes. You can start a conversation.
Exactly.
And does the government frown upon such type of conversations?
Definitely.
And what do they do when?
Actually, people are very careful. You have to be very careful who you associate yourself with when you engage in such talk, because basically it's a police state.
Right.
So you never know who's going to report you.
Or who's listening to you?
Exactly,
who's watching you?
Definitely, yeah. Mm. So you only talk unless you know the person is this like in favor of the ruling party. Then you know exactly what to say.
to please them.
Exactly.
So that you don't be in trouble.
Not necessarily please them, but at least not to be very vocal or very opposed.
So there are subtle ways to you can challenge the system without putting yourself out there.
Yes.
At the behest of your life, right?
Yeah.
Because it's risky.
Yes.
What are some of the repercussions of challenging, you know, your presidency or your politics in your country?
Oh, actually, students, young people, you know, in general, they get arrested all the time. They get harassed, detained, and even tortured in prisons and all.
So it's very well documented.
We've
read some of the stories.
Yeah, it's something known. It's an open secret.
Everyone knows it. So where do they get the courage to do it? It's very scary to live in such a situation where you can't fully, freely express yourself.
It is, yeah. But then, no matter how firm your grip is, when you repress people, when you push them too much, they're going to fight back at some point. They're going to get, you know, fed up. And young people always have the energy and the enthusiasm, the audacity to
speak out.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, it happens. They burst from time to time and they get repressed and, you know.
And how do you get the buy-in of the older crowd to be able to be on your side?
The older crowd, that's the problem. In Sudan, the older crowd, senior politicians seem to be disconnected from the streets.
Mm-hmm.
It's like they're not even on social media. They don't even, you know, consider the young people to be worthy, you know, a force that's, you know, to be reckoned with. Even though history tells us otherwise, because Sudan has a history of revolutions and they've always been, you know, started by students from universities and all. But still older people think, they're the ones to do the thinking and they feel
the privilege is bestowed upon them by virtue of their age.
Exactly.
To be
age,
the ones to
wisdom,
speak out.
And all.
Right,
yeah,
right, right.
We're just energetic and, you know, young people.
You're there to be seen and not to be heard.
Exactly. Which is a problem. Because, like, in September, as you remember, there were, like, you know, street protests. And we saw a lot of energy, a lot of anger, but there was no, you know, enough coordination between the political leaders, the opposition leaders, and the people on the street.
Right.
You know, they were living in a different world altogether.
It took a courage to challenge a process. It needs courage. One thing that I would advise my colleagues to understand is that it is within your right to challenge a process.
At times you find things are difficult for you, but you try your luck to challenge, to do all your level best to overcome it. For example, in the work I used to do, at times they tell you have to do this and there is some difficulties. So you have to stand on your ground and then you say it's not supposed to be done like this.
And at the end of the day, we found that we saved people from what they were carrying as a burden. And currently, as I've challenged many things as far as my position is concerned, that you have your colleagues and you see them not doing what a teacher is supposed to do. What do you do? Do you want to be liked, side that you keep quiet? I've always told them the right thing, and those who understand what to do, they come up and say, thank you for showing me the way.
Thank you.
You're tuned to Upfront on the Voice of America. Now, Jackson, the truth is that people sometimes fear change and are sometimes comfortable with where they are, because to change means that you're going to have to do things differently to the way you've been doing it all the time, right?
That is true, Nadia. People fear change. People hate change. People do not like change, you know? Sometimes you're just comfortable with where you are. And you know, they say that better the devil you know than the angel you don't know. I think we have a natural aversion towards change. And therefore, sometimes things might not be going well in any given process or system. But you're just like, okay, you know, whatever, I'll just, you have that whatever mentality. I like it the way it is. I'm scared of how it will change or what will happen when we change it. And because of that, you're stuck in that same cycle of either disorganization or just poor leadership or whatever it is that is affecting your organization or your system or your country.
You're exercising your right. If something is wrong, point it out. The mistake you'll do if you don't have a suggestion, but come up with appropriate suggestion. When you give the challenge, propose a suggestion. Yes, people fear a lot. Sometimes it's because of the orientation, the society. Sometimes it's because of the background.
It is those who have courage who can challenge any process. And if you lack self-confidence, you will always let things go the way they are. Because you feel when you challenge something, maybe if it is a level of employment, your boss will maybe terminate you, or people will hate you. But I want to say that as a matter of principle, I will always challenge any bad process.
People should always not fear to challenge what they are finding out in the works they are doing. They should always stand and stand on their rights, say what they are finding, that it's not really going on well, and then they stand on their right and say what they feel.
Other people will feel challenging the process because maybe they are shy or they are afraid of if they challenge a certain process. If you don't challenge a process, you may be oppressed, you may get things you don't want.
Yeah. Interesting points there, Jackson. Well, you tuned to Upfront on The Voice of America with Jackson Vunganyi, and I'm Nadia Sami. And also do keep sending us your comments and your thoughts on this program and also other topics that you think we need to be talking about, pressing issues, especially affecting youth on the African continent and in the diaspora. What are the things that we need to be discussing? What's on your minds? Let us know. We're talking about challenging the process or system on the show today. And if organizations want better growth, they should encourage employees to look at their day-to-day routines and beyond to identify new and different approaches so that the output may be better. Really, when we see that changes are taking positive effect, in all likelihood, you're going to be rewarded and not punished for voicing up, for talking up. If managers want employees to be empowered in the workplace, then employees must be given the confidence and the skills to assume an active and involved role in the workplace. Because it's great when you feel that you're involved with the process and that you're not just waking up every morning, going to work, say, doing exactly what you're being told, how to do it, and then going home, waking up the next day and reliving that whole process, because then you don't feel like you're participating.
Now, challenging the status quo meets this critical competitive need by showing people how to safely and effectively look for and present their ideas. My colleague Henok Fente is from Ethiopia. During his student days as a young reporter, he covered demonstrations and protests by young people challenging the political and economic system in his country.
It deals with the culture, it deals with the education, and it also deals with the system in which we function in Ethiopia, which is not democratic in the first place. So trying to change a system that you think that's not working, it's not just only a gut feeling. You know it's not working and you want to do something about it. You might be trained to do something about it, but you cannot because the system doesn't allow you to do that. And these are the challenges I believe many Africans, young Africans, feel right now. And it is a very frustrating feeling when you feel like you cannot do much about it.
Does our education encourage young people to challenge the system?
So from first grade, almost sounds like a military school, the way it's set up. You don't have a say in class. You basically obey what the teacher tells you, and you do as the teacher tells you. It's good that kids are following orders. It's good that they are respecting their teachers, and it's good that they have mentors. But the relationship that you build with your teachers is, that of a servant and a lord.
Servant-mentor type of relationship.
Exactly. And that does not open doors for creativity. So from day one, you are conditioned to go that way. You go to universities, it's exactly the same. I had this Ethiopian history professor who was teaching early 19th century Ethiopian history. He wanted us to answer a question exactly how it was put word for word in the book that he recommended as the mandatory reading of the course. Now, if you read another book and bring a different perspective, you get an F. Now, this is the kind of system that we have.
You basically had to parrot what he says. You have to repeat exactly what he says. We called it cramming.
And now, go to the job environment and you find the same
mentality. Now, are these precepts that are embedded in the education system that has been carried down from the colonial era? Because I remember reading somewhere where they said that our education system was set in a way that it trained servants and not masters. So you don't question, you're not taught how to question or to challenge.
Well, I come from a country that was never colonized, so our education system is not influenced by the colonial system.
Right.
But definitely, we did have Western teachers, so that might have something to do with it. But even if you look at the traditional sayings in Africa, whatever a child bakes is not enough for dinner, or whatever a young person cooks doesn't feed a family.
Right.
There are this subtle cultural discrimination against young people.
But then when we elevate the conversation to adults, also in a non-school environment, let's say in your work environment, you find that, you know, people who are of a lower rank in a job, in a position, or in lower rank in society, the poor people, usually don't have the capacity or the inclination or even the courage to challenge the system.
They don't. They are already comfortable with the system. They have kids. And when you try to change things in Ethiopia, there is this common expression, oh, please, leave me alone. Let me raise my children.
That is if you ask somebody, why don't you challenge this? They're like, what do you want with me? Why don't just let me be.
Let me raise my kids. Yeah. I don't want to change a stone. Mm. I'm comfortable with the way things are. That is the first... This is resistance in its ultimate form. You cannot do anything about that.
So it's you frustrated by people who are not challenging the system. And so when you approach them or when you try to do something,
even forget about asking other people to make change. You yourself can change it. They will stand on the way. Now, they're comfortable with the way things are going. You know, a number of radio stations in the United States, the veteran journalists did not want to change from cutting tape on radio into digital editing. And there are still journalists throughout Africa and newspapers who don't type their stories. They're used to writing their stories and they don't want to flinch from that kind of, you know, mode of operation. Mm. So this tells you that people are really comfortable with what they have. And when you try to introduce a new idea, even though it doesn't affect them right now and you are carrying the burden of that, it means you will be eventually introducing change to the system they're comfortable with, and they will by any means try to stop you.
Now, that's because people are inherently fearful of change in general, whether it's good change or bad change.
In politics, it's also the same. You have young people throughout Africa who are capable. And you see that when they go outside the continent, they thrive. They go to these new environments in Europe and America. They adjust themselves very well. The system really doesn't allow you. We don't have governments who have institutions that nurture new ideas, institutions that advance entrepreneurship, institutions that say, hey,
that encourage creativity, you know, that encourage you to challenge them. That's very interesting.
I think understanding that when you and I are talking, if I don't agree with you, then I'm against you. This kind of thinking really all contributes to, from the very basic personal relations to government policies and generally the direction that the continent is going. I'm not afraid. Yeah.
Now, Nadia, we need to overcome self-defeating attitudes towards taking risks or possible repercussions. If we are stuck in that, you know, oh, I'm scared of change, or oh, I'm scared of what is going to happen to me if I voice my opinion on this, you will never challenge your system and the system will always be the same.
Absolutely, Jackson. There's power in speaking up because everybody's idea is there to make the workplace better. Everybody has a different outlook. Everybody can look at the same thing but come back with different thoughts about it or different solutions. And so it's important to talk up. There's power in talking up. Also, if you're unhappy with the situation at work and you just let it slide every day, it's going to fester up and boil up in you. It's going to boil up until eventually you're going to end up suffering with depression. You're going to end up hating your workplace and hating your colleagues, when maybe talking about it, coming up with a solution to the problem, when you have the solution in your head, that could be the answer for you.
Thank you very much for listening to Upfront on the Voice of America. I would like to thank my co-host Nadia Sami in Johannesburg, South Africa. We would also like to thank all our listeners who contributed to the show this time around. And if you have any questions or comments or want to contribute to the show in future, remember to send us an email at upfront@voanews.com. If you want to connect with me on Twitter, my handle is @UpfrontAfrica. Let's connect again next week, right here, same time. On behalf of my colleague Nadia Sami, my name is Jackson Vunganyi. Goodbye.